So welcome to our NEPT content and curriculum call. And normally these calls are intended for discussion and questions about the modules in the curriculum. So if there are things you would like to explore on a deeper level, or if you have questions you'd like answered about the curriculum, that's what this particular call is for. It does not mean you can't talk about anything else, but we want to make sure that you have this opportunity if you do have those questions. Also, the people who are presenting this call today, that your hosts today are myself, Lynn, and Tony St. Clair. And because, if you do not know, Dr. Rita Marie is on vacation in Hawaii, celebrating her 30th wedding anniversary with Scott. And so you get us. And we will do our very, very best to answer any questions you have. And if there are questions that we are not able to answer, we will make sure Dr. Rita Marie knows, and we'll get back with you. Does that help? All right. So, Valerie and Melody, do you have any questions? If you have a question, raise your hand with number 1 through 5. And there we go. Okay, your hand is your phone is open. Melody.
Yeah, I emailed you.
Yesterday,
and I knew that you were really busy. So I'm in the micronutrients, and I was kind of waiting because I was having a problem with the B3, the niacin. When I would go to click it, it loops back to B2.
Oh.
And so I can't take it. So finally I just, last night I just skipped it and went on to B5, but it's not working.
Okay,
so
let me take a look at that.
And I've tried it from different computers, making sure that it wasn't, you know, just something going on. So anyway, that was all that I.
Okay. Well, no, that's important. So I'm going to take a look at that. And let's see, micronutrients. Right, there we go. And you said it's which one again? B3?
Yeah, B3. When you press B9, it loops back. B2,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, the cover slide says B3. That's a good start.
Yeah, it does. So it's very deceiving.
Yeah.
Until you press on it.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will hold on a second here. My computer isn't the most current, nor is it the fastest.
Let me try the B3.
You're going to try that too? Okay.
Yeah. So mine is just a half a hair. Okay, so B3 came up for me.
Did you? Now you're actually playing it?
I'm going to see what it, so the problem is it's not playing. Let me click on it.
No, she says when it plays, if I'm understanding correctly, when it plays, B2 is playing, right, on the video?
That's correct.
I'm looking at the video. Okay, the title says B3. I'm going to scroll through. Printers, slides full, B3, niacin, and I'm going to keep going.
So, yeah, the...
I have B3 niacin on the slide.
Yeah, but
When you press it, it will say that, and I can access the slides, and it'll say that. But when you push, you know, to
actually,
start the lecture,
yeah, mine is just
the video. Okay, let me take a
right.
look again. All right, I understand that.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. Is to my computer takes.
Oh, it's a B7. It comes at B7.
Oh, now you said B2, right?
Yeah, she said
yeah,
B3, and I went to B3. And when I click on the video download or video MP4, it says B7.
Hello, and welcome to our
mic. And just
that's really funny. Mine goes back to riboflavin. Yeah, mine goes back to B2.
Oh.
That's really weird.
So
okay,
now, do you click on the download the video MP4? Yeah. See.
No, I just go to the straight line.
I think that's what's happening because mine does say B2 on the actual video itself. That's above the little bar that says. Okay, but so Tony is saying that the download is B7.
Okay.
All right.
So I want to make sure I'm starting up the same point as everyone. Is it B2 where we want it to be, or
no,
is it B3?
No, we want it to be B3.
We want it to be B3. So I'm in B3, niacin.
Yep.
I'm going back in there, and I'm pushing on the MP4 video, and it takes me to B7.
That's the download part, right, where it says video MP4.
Yes.
But if
mm-hmm.
you play the actual screen,
yes, I'll click on that. It's
that's the B2 riboflavin. Well, we're just really.
It says B2.
Okay.
It says B2. When I click on it says B2.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
It's not just you.
Okay. I will bring this to their attention. Hopefully, it will not be a difficult thing to fix. I'm assuming this is one of the easier fixes, but thank you for letting us know that. Because I know
so,
that
I
we
so
did
excited
it.
To
it's
learn
there.
About niacin. It's really important, so I was
Aww.
So excited about it.
Well,
do you need it? Do you
I tell
it
you
now?
What, I know where it is, and so I will find that.
Okay. Because I have it as well. So if you're going to send it to her, that's fine.
And so I will find that for you, and I will try and email that to you. Sometimes if it's a long file, it doesn't work as well.
Interesting.
So I will do my best. But if anything, we can get this fixed.
Very interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, obviously, it's two different download areas, and so somewhere in there, somebody downloaded B2 and somebody else downloaded B7. So, I wonder what happens when you go to riboflavin is B2, and you know what? I'm in B7. Wait, let me see. Maybe
I want to be B7 to do the same thing. Let's see.
I'm waiting.
B2.
Nope, it does say B7. At least the front screen says B7.
B7 is B7. B5 is B5. Yeah. Interesting.
And I also got on my computer, and the link sent me to Join Me. Are we on the Join Me tonight?
I did not open it up because I did not imagine we would be doing any screen sharing.
Okay. I was just wondering because this is waiting for presenters, so it's like I'm thinking I'm wrong because you guys are obviously
you are all good. Yeah. The only reason we ever have that really open is sometimes people have labs or things, and we'll share that.
Yeah. And so, you had asked for my backup pin, my pin number. I have it if you need it.
No, I know what it is. I just want to make sure you know what
okay.
it is.
Okay.
So in the suit, okay. so that was because that's another issue we sometimes have is that sometimes the computer does not spit out the pin number you need or the appropriate or correct one. So, and it's not even Mercury in retrograde. We are, however, having we are having solar flares, so who knows?
We can blame everything on that, right?
I have a great time doing that, yeah.
Absolutely. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So then you're going to send that to her?
What?
Lynn, you said you're going to send her the that module?
Yep, I'm going to. I have to do it after we're done because I need to download it and everything, and it takes up need and space and everything. So I've made myself to do that.
Okay. How about a whoopsie?
Let's see. And Farah is here. Okay. All right. So that was a great thing to bring up there, Melody. I really appreciate that. That helps us out. I'm just curious that nobody else said anything before, though. So it makes sense. Curiouser and curiouser. All right, so we'll get that fixed. So everybody will be able to learn more about niacin as well as B2 and B7. Does anybody else have any questions that we can be of help with? And it does not necessarily have to be totally curriculum only. Tony and I will do our best to help with anything else. We're here as your colleagues, and a thing that has come up a lot lately is how we're all collaborators in our joint ventures. Any question? Numbers 1 through 5. You don't have to do a star. Just choose a number 1 through 5, and we're here to help. And Valerie has a question. All right, Valerie, yeah. Your line's open.
Okay. This is something I was thinking about earlier today. With the mindfulness, and switching from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic for digestion. We focus on shifting that as we are eating. But I was thinking, okay, the digestion process is a pretty long thing, several hours. Mm. So, you know, we're shifting it, we're trying to shift it while we're eating, but it seems like you're going to need to stay in the parasympathetic for a pretty long time. Is that true?
That makes sense to me.
It does.
It kind of seems like the more you can stay in parasympathetic, the better off your whole digestion is going to be.
Oh, your whole life.
Yeah. You're right. It's interesting you bring that question up. So one of the things I'm tasked with while Dr. Rita Marie is gone is to do the clinical pearl. And I was thinking, what kind of questions am I getting lately, whether it be on a call or just talking to people? And a lot of it has to do with things like oh, hot flashes and decreased libido, difficulty sleeping, increased anxiety, maybe some vaginal dryness. And as I look at the common denominator through all of it, a lot of it is stress. Because where does our stress begin? It begins in the brain, right? And there's lots of pathways, hormonal pathways that are affected with all of that. And people are often wanting to think beyond the mark. They want to come up with some elaborate response to all of it, some big Band-Aid. And it's all really basic. It, as you were saying, if the more we can keep ourselves in that sympathetic or parasympathetic mode, not only is it good for our digestion, it's good for the whole of us, as Tony was just saying. And then if you were at Shine last year, we talked all about that gut-brain connection. So we can get real geeky and talk about all of that, but the end point is that it's just how we manage our stress. In my simplistic terms.
Yeah. And I guess it just hit me how much the whole process could be affected over a long period of time. So, you know, doing the heart math when you're starting to eat, but then you've got to kind of maintain that for a while.
Because what else is
obvious now, but...
You know, what else will it affect? It doesn't just affect our digestion. It has that pyramid effect. It affects our blood sugar. How many times do people take their blood sugar and they're like, oh, my gosh, it's 150. And all I had were greens with some chia porridge or something. And it's like, okay, well, what was happening while you were eating? Well, I was running around trying to get the kids in the car and making sure they had all of this, and then the dog threw up. And, oh, well, that might be something that contributed to it. And then, obviously, it affects your adrenal stress. And then, it continuing up, it affects your thyroid and, you know, all these other body systems. So... I have my grandson over, so.
Aww.
He just turned 3, so. So that's my music of the night.
Nice.
So you're right. It is that place we need to be as often as possible. It isn't just before we eat or even during the time we eat. The more we can be in that heart math mode, the better it is for all our body systems.
I feel flashbangs.
Did you?
Hey,
you. Okay.
Upstairs. I love that.
Okay.
Thank
you. There you go.
Thank you. Isn't it weird how sometimes you just kind of think yourself in a back door?
No, I love that.
Right.
I do that a lot. I appreciate you. Here. It made me pause, so thank you.
Exactly. I was having my own moments yesterday, as I shared earlier with Tony, and... once I realized a few things, I was able to pause, breathe, and get myself back into that mode. It didn't mean that the things that contributed to my stress and overwhelm went away, but the way I approached it was different. I was able to think and just be more present. So that I appreciate your reminder of that as well.
Absolutely.
It can be challenging.
Yeah.
Yes. Any other amazing questions that you have for us?
Or observation?
Yeah.
Can you still hear me?
Yep, I do.
I have a question that came to my mind from the talk, from the call last night about the UN and how that is a can signify digestive juice. Issues?
It was, bun is one of them, but uric acid is another one.
And is that just because you're not breaking down protein?
That's not just protein.
Okay.
Yeah, it's everything. If you need help with breaking down protein, you want to make sure you're taking protease.
Okay. I don't think I'm breaking protein down, and yet my blood work is coming back good as far as those numbers. So that was where I was asking.
Okay.
What makes you think that, Sally?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
What makes you think that you're not breaking down protein?
Because I have all those ridges in my fingernails, and they're soft and flexible. Mm. And I've been listening to several different talks, and that keeps coming up, that's very closely related to protein. And I've kind of been wondering about that for a while anyway, so I'm kind of thinking in that direction right now a little bit.
Well, that has something to do with it. I'm thinking it also has something to do with your liver as well. What color are your nails?
You mean the nail bed?
Mm-hmm.
They're pink.
Okay. And you can see the moon?
I only have lunulas on the thumbs.
Say that again, please.
I only have the lunulas on the thumbs.
Oh, on the thumb. Okay. I'm thinking, because sometimes if you don't have that, it talks about your weak immunity.
I was thinking that was protein, too. So.
But they're vertical, right?
The ridges?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ridges are vertical.
Okay.
And split.
Mm-hmm. Looking up. Okay. Ridges, kidney stress. And do the ridges don't split, do they?
The ridges split.
They split?
Yeah.
And that's indication of some respiratory problems.
That's a what?
According to the hand and nail. Go ahead.
Oh, my husband decided to mow the lawn right outside my window, so I had to go shut it down.
Okay. No, I'm looking. Vertical ridges that split. Indicate poor oxygenation or respiratory problems.
Oh, okay.
Actually, according to the hand and nail evaluation. on the IME site.
Right.
And
there is weakness in the digestive tract, right? Like leaky gut, food sensitivities, maldigestion.
Excessive vertical ridges, inadequate levels of B vitamins.
Yep.
Especially B12, poor digestion, gallbladder problems. But all boils down to digestion.
Exactly. That hypochlorhydria, insufficient production of hydrochloric acid. Do you know what your iron or silica levels are?
That was fine. I don't know the silica, but the iron was fine.
It's fine. But are you absorbing it? So that's the thing. Some people come back and they say, well, my iron levels are great on my blood test. But if you're not digesting it, that's another story. So that's where you look at things like ferritin and the saturation to see what those levels are, to see if you're actually absorbing it. And then your B vitamins are along with that.
And she said that stomach gas is not a problem. Is that Valerie?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble understanding.
Your stomach acid, you said there was no problem indicated that there's any stomach acid problem?
I'm not sure about that. I'm going to need to test that, I think.
I would start there. Necessarily with testing, but don't we have as Lynn always indicates, we can always do assessments, self-assessments before we do the testing.
Well, in the GRAND module or in your CMDS module, there's some self-assessments like where you can go through and just check out certain things about how your body reacts on a physical level. There's that physical symptoms checklist, as well as the digestive, the online digestive assessment. Because it's just
do a lot more work on that.
Yeah,
it's not working right yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been figuring that out in the last few weeks.
Well, you also might want to take some silica-type foods. So can you eat things like onions?
I have been using a good bit of onion.
Okay, because that's also really good for your liver.
Okay.
Celery is the same thing. I'm a big fan of celery. It helps your stomach to create its own stomach acid. It helps your body to absorb foods. Other things are like cucumbers. Root vegetables are good. Slippery elm could be helpful. Obviously, your green leafy vegetables. Your cereal grasses like barley grass and wheat grass could be helpful. If you do any grains, you could do something like gluten-free oats. Oats themselves don't have gluten, but usually what happens is they're processed in a facility.
Right.
With gluten. Your essential fatty acids, flaxseed, chia seed, hemp seeds, avocados. If you're doing any GLA oils, gamma-linolenic acid oils, that would be your evening primrose, borage, things like that. Walnuts are another good omega-3. Sunflower seeds or sunflower sprouts, seaweed. I have heard that if you take slippery elm powder before a meal, it helps improve your mineral absorption in the small intestine.
Oh, okay.
Are you doing any digestive bitters or bitter foods?
I do a good bit of arugula.
Okay. Yeah. Arugula, endive, radicchio, kale, those are all bitters. Romaine is actually a bitter. Celery is a bitter.
My breakfast is baby kale and Swiss chard.
Okay. Mm. All right. Good.
That's
yeah.
pretty much every day. So.
Good. Well, you want to rotate so your body, yep, exactly.
It's hard for me to rotate because all of the mixes have spinach in them and I can't eat spinach.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. But there's so many other greens that, you know, that just having even 3 to 5 that you can rotate through would be helpful. If you're making an elixir or throwing any herbs, horsetail is a good one. Gadukola is another good one. Bok choy is good. Don't forget broccoli. Because they also have B vitamins. They also have silica, folate. Yeah. I'm trying to think. What was the combination that Dr. Rita Marie was talking about with bones? It was horsetail.
What do we call that?
There were three of them. I just could remember the horsetail. I can't remember the others.
I can't recall.
Anyway, yep. You're spot on in recognizing the importance of how you eat with your being as stress-free as you can and maximizing your digestion.
Okay, and I appreciate all of these good ideas. A lot of them I've already put in, and a lot of these foods I can't eat because I'm allergic to them, but... I do intend, I just got my DGL powder, and I've started doing some slippery elm, so I think I'm going to try combining those before meals.
Okay.
And see if that helps.
And let us know.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, really great questions. I appreciate it. Gets my brain thinking.
Yeah, mine too.
All right. Anything else, Valerie?
That's all I can think of right now.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. And I bet you have all of us thinking of some questions we can ask, too. I see that Phyllis and Laura have joined us. If you have any questions or things that you'd like to talk with us about, share, love sharing wonderful success stories or things that are happening. Any number, 1 through 5, no star is required. These calls on Maestro are any number 1 through 5, and there is Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Lynn.
Your line's open, yeah.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. Oh, hi, Tony. Is that Tony? Tony,
oh, yes. Hi.
What is it? Ask you guys. There's two questions that keep coming up a lot with teaching the cooking classes or working with clients. And one is the Ezekiel bread. Like, is that okay to eat? And I was going to kind of hear what your guys' thoughts were on this, but I know that some people say that if they're sprouted grains, they're going to be easier to digest, but I still feel like that's gluten. And so if people have a gluten sensitivity, then they need to stay away from that. Like, I personally don't eat Ezekiel bread because I know I have a sensitivity and reaction with gluten. Do you guys, is that how you explain it to people too? What are your thoughts on that? And then I wanted to talk about grapeseed oil because that's coming up a lot.
Okay.
All right. So in the absence of people not having any issues with gluten, you guys probably heard my phrase, good, better, best. And it's a good step down and eventually step off method of people that are addicted to bread. But most people, as you know, can't handle the gluten. So I would err on the side of caution and say, nah. What about you, Lynn?
My thought is very similar to yours in that respect. You know, it does take longer to get to that sugar portion, but it is still a type of refined food because there is still some other refining going on. I'm trying to remember. I actually have my Wheat Belly book here because I know he talked about that. And, yeah, he basically just says that it's still, let's see.
It's a gluten trap. That's what Dr. Ash said.
It still contains the gliadin protein that clouds your thinking and stimulates appetite. It still contains it. No, it's not all. They're not all gluten grains that are involved in it, but there are some that are there, sprouted or not. And it, as he says, it still contains glutens that disrupt intestinal health. It still contains amylopectin A that sends your blood sugar through the roof. It still contains lectins that disable the normal intestinal barriers to foreign substances. It still contains alpha amylase, peroxidases, lipid transfer proteins, and thioredoxins responsible for a variety of allergic phenomena.
So basically it has very little in the redeeming value category and all a lot of things that are not great. And so, yeah.
I
would not recommend. Again, step down method. The idea of getting people off of it. I'm sorry.
No, that was my grandson.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like that because that's what I've been doing with my health coaching client. Like, if they have to have bread, it's an upgrade, but eventually trying to get them off of it and not having them eating it while on an elimination diet.
A lot. And I would actually explain it that way. It's a good, better, best approach that it's not ideal and not something that you would recommend that, you know, people include in their diet, like you said, frequently or even forever. And then see how they feel, you know, if they're having signs and symptoms of intolerance, then, you know, got to get rid of it.
Right. And that's another mindset thing, right? Why do you feel you need it? Now, I know some people are like, well, it's got great fiber. Well, there are other safer ways to get fiber in your vegetables, flaxseed, chia seed, things like that. And so, and again, if you're changing your diet, as your diet and your digestion optimizes, the amount of fiber you need is not as much as when you're eating a more processed, highly refined, because they're so incredibly disruptive on the bowel health, you know, you need more of that fiber. But if you're eating a good nutrient-dense diet, the amount of fiber you need is different. So that is just my particular take. It again goes back to that issue with digestion.
That's a very good point, Lynn. So, Laura, are they wanting to eat this because they're you know, sandwich eating people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to introduce a new concept of bread that's not bread. But yeah, it's highly addictive. Yeah. I mean, understanding. And most people also too. There's, I mean, we eat psychologically too. Like there's comfort in remembering how, you know, the taste of bread, the feel, the mouth feel, the
mm-hmm.
you know, all that. So you have to introduce something that will give them the same mouth feel. But you know, it may start a little bit of work if they really want it. You know, you can make your own bread sort of and dehydrate. It's a lot of work to do that. It'd be almost better to ask people to explore another way of eating and develop a new psychological brain transmission about what really feels good and tastes good in the mouth.
Right.
I know that takes time. I know it sounds easy or not, but that's how it was for me, because I was a bread eater from, you know, practically birth, and with asthma and a couple other things. That was not my friend. And I had to really, really change my, not only my mindset, but I reset my taste buds, and bread just didn't taste good anymore once I'd done a cleanse to reset my taste buds. And I just didn't go back to it. So there are a number of ways, you know, that this could be introduced.
Right.
But it really isn't delicious. But I know the struggle is real, Laura. I get it. Separating people from their bread.
Yeah. Well, right. I just wanted to make sure that I was telling them correctly, because that comes up all the time. They're like, but Ezekiel bread's healthy, but and I think they're thinking it's gluten free, and I'm like, no, like we
no.
really need to
bread not.
Get off the bread in general.
Yeah.
There was this meme that I saw. It was like a picture of Ryan Gosling, and it was like, every time you eat bread, Ryan is sad.
Oh.
It makes me laugh, but
oh, I love that.
I had like put that in like a nutrition class that I did. I was like, don't make Ryan sad. Oh, that's so funny.
I love that.
I would never have thought of that.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kinds of funny stuff out there. Grapeseed oil, because this again is just coming up over. Mm. I don't eat grapeseed oil. I try to personally stay away from the industrial seed oils. From what I've, and it's confusing, and I get it, because my clients come to me and they're like, well, I researched this and half of the website said this is great and I need to eat grapeseed oil, and the other half said that it's, you know, bad for you, and they're confused. And from what I've read, that it's inflammatory and it's higher in omega-6s, and it's something that I stay away from. With some confusion, because I guess I had done a talk and the nutritionist that had talked before me was like really pushing the grapeseed oil. And then I came in and was like, I personally don't eat that. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you explain it to people? I mean, other than the best way that I know how to explain it is it's inflammatory, it's higher in omega-6s, and we're trying to balance the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio to decrease inflammation in the body. I feel like I struggle with that question a little bit.
Well, the way I dealt with it when I was doing food classes is that oils are fractured food, and so the minute you separate it from, you know, where it originally began, it starts to degrade. And so what you get is not oil, but something very rancid and awful and not even nutritious at that point. Except coconut oil.
Right. And, yeah, and as Dr. Ida Marie often says, you know, whole foods is what we're looking for. The other thing to understand is how it's processed. So grapeseed oil is processed from the seeds of grapes, which are formed as a byproduct of winemaking. So, There's a process there. And the other part that you want to be careful of is they often use something called hexane in that processing. And so that's the other part you really
want to be really careful is that these are, they're often processed using toxic solvents. Like you said, it's high in omega-6 fatty acids. So if they're not already eating a higher ratio of omega-3s, then this isn't going to be balanced. But the other thing, I'm trying to remember, because people say that it's really good because it's high in antioxidants. It's not present in the oil is what I keep thinking. Because it goes through that whole processing, that extraction process, and so then most of the good stuff is taken out. There is some good vitamin E in it, if I remember correctly, but I don't know if I use it just for that reason. Anyway, so...
Because, like, for example, I'm working with a client who was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I was kind of working with a whole family. Like, he has a really great support system, and they all kind of wanted to know, what do we do to change our diet? And I was kind of giving them some advice, and I ran into them at Natural Grocers, and she was like, yeah, I came in to get my grapeseed oil because I read that it's super great for this, and we'll help with this. And I was like, oh, no. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Yeah. So just say it's higher in the omega, the poly, what is it, polyunsaturated fat, the omega-6, than it is the 3. Generally, it's highly processed. The other thing is, especially if you know their genetics, it has polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, the PAH, PAS, and those are carcinogenic. So that's the omega-6.
That with or without?
I remember I was talking about it with somebody else, and I'm like, what did I hear about that? I remember this. Just like you were saying, Laura, it's like, I know I read this. Where was it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I feel like. I know it's not good for you. I can't remember all of the details why. But I knew it wasn't
That's a big one with the, you know, the omega-6, I mean, 70%. And to me, I mean, I guess the nutrition, the level of it is highly suspect. Once you separate it from its source, and then who knows how long it's been sitting around, and, you know, it's, So, again, if they, you know, I think what Lynn says does go back to quality and what you're using the oil for, because there are other alternatives that are going to give you a better, they're going to assimilate better and give you the desired results. So if they're using it for vitamin E, there are, you know, other less volatile ways to get vitamin E in the body.
Yeah.
If they're using it for cooking, you know, the smoke point for this type of oil is super high, and so it, you know, it turns into something awful.
Right. Exactly.
There are other
alternatives.
Well, whatever the argument they present for using it, or whatever argument there is for using it, I would take the top three that people say this is why you need the oil and come up with some alternatives that are less harmful and more and will yield better results. That would be the best argument.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And we often forget that food has a synergistic thing. We for some reason keep thinking if we separate things that it's going to be better because we're just going to get that one part. But and we actually talked a little bit about this in terms of our practices last week, right, with how we're a synergistic. We're a whole. We're not a separate. We're not separate parts. And so, when you break something down, it loses some of that. Now, that doesn't mean you should never juice or anything like that, but when you break that grape away from its seed and then crush it and everything like that and really process it with chemicals, you're losing some of that value.
Yeah.
Even cold press or, you know, less harmful methods, it still, once it gets exposed to air, as it's designed to do, it starts breaking down.
Right. So that hopefully gave you some more ideas.
Yeah, thank you. That was really helpful.
Yeah, we just, you know, there's always the latest superfood or the latest whatever. And because people are always looking for that magic Band-Aid. And, you know, you just bring it back to the basic things. You know, just eat real food. How are you? Are you chewing it? What's your situation while you're eating? I mean, if we get people to just even look at those three things, I think we would be in a much better place. And I love your cooking classes. I love seeing all you're doing with all of that.
Oh, my gosh, she's incredible, isn't she? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was just saying, even your latest video, it wasn't that long. I think it was a Facebook Live about, here's my dinner, here's what I did. I threw it in there. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't scripted, but I was riveted. I was like, wow, that's awesome. You have that sort of appeal when you're preparing food and you talk about it. So, yeah, I think that you can easily convince people of something, that they can do something different without demonizing it. Yeah, I know you can do this. I know you have.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I need to go back and find, I'm sure it's on the website somewhere. I missed when Dr. Rita Marie did that retreat on how to do online cooking classes.
I was actually teaching a live cooking class. Yeah, I think that's in the CMDS section.
I need to go in and look for that at some point, because I was teaching a live class during that, so I wasn't able to listen. But more and more people have been asking me about doing a virtual cooking class like that. And honestly, I like doing the live classes. They're a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work to prep everything and take everything to the location and set everything up. It takes me about an hour to get everything set up and then teach the class, and then an hour with my super sweet mother and husband who helped me run this, because it takes a little village to clean it all up. And so I am thinking that may be like doing it on, I don't know how to use Google Hangout, but I can learn, and I think that would be a good thing for me to watch and learn and try to implement, because more and more people are asking about that, which is exciting. And I thought, well, hey, then I can just cook it in my kitchen, and then we get to eat it all.
Oh, my gosh. I could picture you doing that. And you're right that it's very labor-intensive, and it does take a village. And I usually have kitchen angels to help me, because it is a lot of work. And you show up so well on camera. No one will you'll still be able to connect with people. So I think that's a great idea. And then we just have to find that. And I know I sat in on that that Saturday class too. The Saturday class actually reading the dip for about 4 hours, I think.
She did it right before the Vital Healing Kitchen show.
Yes.
Here for it under recordings, because it was actually a bonus call for people at last year's Shine who paid. But there it is. It's under recording special calls and virtual retreats. So if you go to any PT recordings, the sidebar pops out, and towards the bottom it says any PT special calls/virtual retreats. And it says virtual retreat day, how to create an online client training and food demo class.
Special bonus call, virtual retreat. Oh, I would never have found that. Thank you, Ryan.
I wasn't sure myself.
I'm sorry, Lynn. Can you say that one more time? I'm going to write this down.
I sure can. If you go to your INE member site, yep, go to recordings.
Okay.
And then you want any PT recordings. And the sidebar comes out, and towards the bottom it says any PT special calls virtual retreats.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn.
In that training, does she talk about the Google Hangout, like how to, how she sets all that up?
Oh, yep. What she did is she recorded as she prepared for her Vital Healing Kitchen show that day.
Okay, so it's like a behind-the-scenes, how to do everything.
Exactly.
The technical side that I need a little help with, so that would be awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something I did once a long time ago. I went to our local community college. They have like a technology area, and I just put it out there. Is there a student who would like to record me? And, you know, they got paid a nominal fee, and they did a great job. And so that's just an option of something to do as a resource.
That's a great idea. I'm actually really, really blessed. My future brother-in-law, he does all the audio visual for his church. That's his job.
And he
has offered
to record
the cooking classes for me and help with that in exchange for health coaching. So it's worked really well, and he's lost 35 pounds.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
Yeah.
Getting all these videos, which are really beautiful. So it worked out really well.
He could
well.
Probably give you a great testimonial. I mean, a testimonial from a guy is really good. It's not that it's not from women, but you don't get as many from guys. And so to hear something like that has a different weight to it.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good idea, Lynn. I need to ask him for one. It's hard because I market myself as a women's health coach because that's my background, and that's kind of what I know, but it would be good to have some variety, too. That's a good idea.
Well, many times women have fathers. Sometimes they have brothers. Sometimes they have a male partner. And so while you're speaking to the women, they may have a man in their life that they need, if anything, they just need support from. So they can see that you worked with men and they had a positive response. So,
yeah,
so that could work in your favor.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see you online. You're going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. You are just so, you're already, you know, just Facebook Live, you're just so engaging. And I've also caught your bits of you on the, you get called back, I guess, to the local TV station.
You're
so adorable. You're so adorable. So, yeah. Can't wait to see.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this all stemmed from being very scared and doing it anyways.
Hello.
And it's funny because I try to go on there, like, I don't know, every other month. Because it's a lot. It's a lot of prep work for me and getting up early, and it kind of throws my schedule off a little bit. And it's funny. I'll sign up. I try to do something, like, seasonal. And, you know, a couple days before it goes on, I'm like, why did I agree to do this? Like, when I'm prepping. But it really is. It's like, okay, feel the fear. Do it anyways. You can do this. And
yeah.
It's a good thing, but it was a good lesson, and I don't think I ever felt ready to do that. I was just like, okay, let's do it. Let's try it and see what happens type thing.
So I just put a video, it's a video interview on my Facebook page that you might be interested at least in some of it. It's about an hour long, but let's see if I can find it. It has to do with fear. And
oh, wow. Wow.
And just, what we, like you said, recognizing it, but it's not just facing it and whatever. There's a whole thing that they did. It was really interesting for me on acknowledging things because your body tells you so many things. And if you're feeling fear, it's not that you just work through it or even, you know, just face it or something. It's what is it being with it? Here it is. It's called Diving into Fear, a Conversation with Katie Hendricks and Eileen Fisher, and it's by the Kent Hendricks Institute, Conscious Loving Plus Body Intelligence. So the date on this is July 19th, so it's not too far down on my page, my Facebook. My personal Facebook page. So it just was interesting to me. And it gave me a different perspective of fear. And I was listening to it not just for myself, because there fear seems to be so rampant right now, and people are making decisions out of fear and not necessarily for their own best interest. So even as we work with people who are making choices based on fear, how many of our clients come to us, and while they want optimal health, it's based in fear. They don't want to get sick. They don't want to die. They don't want to leave their children. And all of those are based in fear. And so if we can get people to, it's not that fear doesn't exist. It has a purpose. It does keep us safe somewhat, but if we base all of our decisions based on fear rather than seeking the sunny side of the street, they will be better off. Their choices will come from that space and not from a fear base. Anyway, so...
Good reminder. Good reminder.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very good reminder.
So that was a good video interview that I highly recommend people, if they have a chance, listen to it.
I just saved it so that I can go back in. That's perfect timing for me, actually, Lynn. Thank you, because I have scans coming up at MD Anderson on Sunday, and I always get nervous before scans. So this will be a good thing for me to listen to. And it's always a good lesson for me in staying in the present moment. Like, you're okay.
Exactly.
Okay right now.
Yeah. I mean, you were given to us here at this time now for a reason, Laura, and you don't need to worry.
Yeah, and I always kind of have to tell myself and remind myself that, like, in this moment right now, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what the results show, I'm going to be just fine. Like, everything is going to be fine. with that, but it's such an interesting thing, and it's because it's like, you know, I think so many people, you know, they get worked up about like, oh my gosh, this could happen, or, you know, like these hypothetical things. And it's funny in this sense, because it's like, oh, the tiger bit you. Like, we went through that. And so it's kind of a funny thing. And it's kind of like a PTSD thing, I guess, is the best way for me to describe it.
Oh, I love that. The tiger bit you.
It's like, yeah, it's like a lot of people are fearful and they're like, oh, the tiger could bite me. This situation is like, oh, it did get you. But reminding myself that it's okay. And you know what? I got through that and I learned a lot through that whole process. And regardless, it's okay. But yeah, that was really good timing, Lynn. That seems to be a theme right now. So I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. Helpful. Because you are so much more than what this scan says. And I don't know. My feeling is it's almost a non-event. Easy for me to say. I realize that. But as far as I know, I have, and as I don't have cancer, I won't have cancer. That's my message. But I come from a mother who had a double mastectomy, and her mother had a double mastectomy, and there are some, there is that quote unquote history. And so I hear that fear talk frequently because I've never done a mammogram. Mm. I have done thermography. But I'm also really aware of my body, my life. I've lived in a different manner. So I understand when I say it's almost a non-event, I don't say that lightly. And I just wanted to make sure that you realize where my heart was when I was saying that.
I didn't take that way at all.
Okay.
Actually strongly believe that taught me it was a huge gift. And and I strongly believe that it taught me how to take care of myself and nutrition and all of these different things. And I don't feel like it's ever coming back. As long as I listen to my body and continue to take care of myself and do the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and it's almost like, whoa, okay, body, you told me what's possible when I don't take care of you. So
right.
I take really good care of you.
Right.
It's
almost unconditional because it's an unconditional thing that's happening that you won't get it. It's not when we say, I won't get it if I live away a particular way, it won't come. But if we just say, it's a non-issue, it's just not happening, and we don't place those conditions on there, it shifts your brain again, your mindset, and it doesn't give you license to just throw caution to the wind and do whatever, but it shifts your mindset that says, it is not happening. Period, end of sentence.
I like
discussion.
That.
Yeah. That's what I've had to do.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really good.
You are my hero, I tell you. On so many levels. So many levels. You just don't know the impact you have. Your post touched me every day in every way. You always show up. And you always show up authentic. And how you show up authentically helps somebody or a lot of somebody because of the way you show up. So I applaud you, and you're just my hero, and I just embrace all that you do to help other people because you're doing it outside of yourself. You're putting yourself out there and hoping that someone else will learn from it, grow from it, be comforted by what's happened to you and have some hope. And you do all that with your posts and with your videos. So thank you on behalf of all those people that you're touching, including me.
Oh, thank you.
You guys remind me of those too. I get so much comfort and support, and I learn so much from you guys. So thank you for that. It's interesting. I just felt like people need to know that they're not alone. And I don't know. I feel like that's kind of my purpose in all of this, is to really speak about prevention, to really encourage people. Self-care is so, so important. And I think that's one of my biggest messages with people, because I think everybody, you know, deep down knows they need to eat better. They need to get sleep. They need to do these things. But self-care, in my mind, is the bridge of how to do that. You know, like, you need that platform to start making these changes. And it's so interesting to me, because I'll do a lecture on, you know, gluten or cooking class or something, and there'll be, like, a lot of buzz about that. People are interested about that. And I'll do, a class about self-care, and it's like crickets.
Right?
Nobody's interested in a class about self-care. And what was fascinating was somebody even commented, or she was really stressed out. She posted something, and I said, you should really come to my self-care class. I think it would be a really, really good thing for you. And she said, well, I know what self-care is. I just don't have time to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but that's it.
Right,
you know, that's
right.
Why they like your classes on what you can throw in the blender, and that's the magic Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care requires introspection and time and being your authentic self.
And knowing that you are worth creating that space for yourself. It's fascinating to me. And so I feel like nobody told me that growing up. Like, you know, in school, it's not like, oh, you should, like, take care. It's like, push harder, do better, do more.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I finally figured that out and learned that, and I was like, oh, wow. I was like, I need to tell people about this, because nobody's, like, talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to me, but the perception on that and how everybody's like, oh, I know what that is. It's really interesting.
But see, they don't. They're making assumptions that it's something that takes hours. I know Tony and I were talking about this a little bit ago. So right now for me, self-care is taking a shower. Okay, I know that sounds like laughable almost, but right now that's what it is for me. And if I can get my neti pot and tongue scraping in, that is an excellent day. And I'm okay with that, because that's where the season of my life right now. And people need to know that when you are teaching them about self-care, you're not asking them to spend 2 hours in the morning in a sauna and doing an hour's worth of yoga. And, it can be that.
Sitting on a pillow and meditating.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Exactly. It can be, it can be that 2 minutes or 1 minute worth of tongue scraping, or the 3 minutes it takes to do a neti pot, or the 30 seconds it takes to sniff something that heightens your awareness. So we need to redefine what self-care is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I see you doing that.
Oh, thanks. That is one of my missions. To let people know that they're okay.
Accomplished.
To take care.
It's been accomplished. So. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, and you are doing an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You guys too.
Thank you, dear. Anything else for
them? Let's see. I see Phyllis on here. Phyllis, did you have any questions for us? I won't open your line unless you want me to. You can raise your hand with number 1 through 5 if you want to say anything. If you don't, I won't open your line up. Or if anybody else still on here has anything they want to share after hearing our conversations and you want to add something to it, we would love to hear. Any number 1 through 5, no stars are required. Okay, Valerie, your line is open.
I had myself muted.
I do that too.
A couple of things came up to my mind when we were talking about grapeseed oil. And one was that it's Stephen Masley who's saying that that's a good oil to cook with. He's the guy who's talking about adding enough fat into the diet. So I think that's probably where a lot of Laura's people are coming up with the idea to ask about it. And he actually said that Stephen Masley.
Oh.
The PBS talks.
Yeah.
That. They did the Fat Summit not too long ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, he has written, and I have had questions about that myself after listening to him. So that's where some of the grapeseed oil comes from. But I got an email this morning from Dr. Alan Christensen that said, why is canola oil okay? And so I went and clicked on it. I went to his page, and I read what he was saying, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, you can't be saying all of this. And just when the conversation started on this call a little while ago, I went to click on that page, and it's gone now. So that call
apparently.
So it'll be interesting to see if anything else comes from that, but he made some interesting points, but it's like, I'm still not going to do canola oil.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's interesting. I'm looking at, he did a podcast, too, with J.J. Virgin, and so I'm just going through transcript. To see what he says there. I have listened to him. I have listened to some of his things, and some of the things he says are great. Other things I don't agree with. I do like the fact that he is a medical doctor that has embraced the nutrition and showing people how to cook or just even get in the kitchen. I was reading something the other day that people spend twice as much money on takeout as they do younger people just plain old don't know how to cook. At least he's doing that. I'm grateful to him for that. I just don't agree with his feelings about all of his feelings about fat. And that's okay.
Yeah. But it sometimes really is hard to figure out where the truth is.
The truth is inside you.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have to find out what's best for you. But as far as, like saying that, the grapeseed oil is okay to cook with and all that. It really is hard to tell.
Yeah,
and
he's talking about how he uses ghee and grapeseed oil, clarified butter. Avocado oil, pecan oil, those are some other things he uses to cook with. He uses coconut oil and sesame oil. but that's about all he said was about so far that I've been able to see about the grapeseed oil. I started listening to the Fat Summits, and I just had to stop.
Well, I agree that the fat-free craze was one of the worst things that happened to the American diet as a whole, because we took out the fat and put in sugar and carbs.
Right.
And that got us where we are now. But you still have to be really careful about the fats. And Dr. Rita Marie,
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And I am really loving the addition of chia.
Lynn?
I think
we may have lost her. Yes, I think chia is wonderful as well, the healthy fat.
Yeah, and it being high in omega-3s is just so convenient.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Easy to digest and full of other minerals. Okay, so looks like we lost Lynn.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry.
Welcome back.
And maybe you didn't even miss me. you know, what I was hoping to say was, and it reminds me the answers are right in our own body. And
then you are not clear, and I think we just lost you. Well, Sally, you can keep talking. Do you have any other questions or anything else to add? Very good observation tonight, everybody. Really appreciate that, and a good question. We all learned.
That's all for me. I just thought I'd add in those interesting bits about the oil and how I couldn't believe Dr. Alan Christensen was saying that canola oil was okay. So it'll be interesting to see if he says anything else about that now. But now that he's taken that page down. But that's all for me. I've talked a lot tonight.
No, we appreciate that. Thank you. So I'm still waiting for Lynn to come in. She has control of the back end, and I do not. So if your line is, I don't think she opened up all the lines. So if you think your line is open, she kept it open. Okay.
I got back.
Good.
But, yeah. So unless there's any more questions, I think my phone's trying to tell me it's time for us to
well, it's been wonderful for me, and I really appreciate you all showing up and sharing. So thank you so very much.
Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. And Dr. Marie will be back next week, and so everything will be back to normal for us. And happy that she got a chance to get away and have a vacation, and we can still move on. You know, there's no replacing her, but as colleagues we can still support each other. So that's, I'm happy to see that we did that. And I don't hear Lynn, so I'm going to hang on the line until she's able to get back on and say goodbye. If you guys need to go, I understand. But I think she's having some technical difficulties. I'll give it a couple more minutes. Yeah, I think that's it. So hopefully no one else had any other questions. And if you did, we'll catch up next time. Dr. Rita Marie gets in for the curriculum call. Other than that, again, feel free to hang in until Lynn comes back. Or, Lynn just said, I can't get back in. I can't see the screen. So I think with that, we're going to all say goodnight. Can open up everybody's lines, but know that if you hear my voice, then I'm feeling your spirit, and I wish you all a wonderful, pleasant evening, and we'll catch you next call. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye.